the next month or so, the sermons will be on prayer and what a gift that is in our relationship with God, something He initiates. And as a Christian, I've been fairly late appreciating prayer as a real dynamic and moment-by-moment aspect of the Christian life. I'd have to say I'm a struggler with my prayer life. I love devotional times, but that can get consistent in my life when I let other things crowd out time between me and the Lord. And I really love praying throughout the day, but that can also become a problem for me when I let worries and difficulties crowd out the Lord who's obviously there all the time and miss out on the continuing conversation I have with Christ. About 12 years ago, we had a missionary stay at our house who was on mission tour from Mali, West Africa. And he was in Africa for about 40 years. So, and he was like, in 4 more years, he'd be retired. So his name is Bob Underwood. Bob, what have you learned recently from the Lord that has really helped you in your ministry? That's what I asked him. And he said, the last number of years have been the best years of following Christ and the best years as a missionary. And he said, because we've put a greater priority on prayer in our ministries. More time, more open-heartedness, more dependence on God. And so that made an impact in my life. And I was playing catch-up. I remember under conviction as when I was being trained for ministry, one assignment was to go and pray for an hour, just quietly pray. And coming back, I told my friend, I said, man, that was the longest I've ever prayed in my life. And he looked at me and said, yeah, I could believe it. So he sensed that I needed to grow in that area, and the Lord calls us in that way. The old hymn says, stand up for Jesus, put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. So we do that. And that hymn agrees with God's word here in Ephesians chapter 6. Paul asked for prayer 5 times in this little section. As he thinks, now, this is what God has given us. Sword of the Spirit, God's Word. The Gospel, tremendous. Faith is a shield, helmet of salvation. Put on those things with prayer. And one of the great gifts of prayer is that it's a 100% God-centered activity. And when I was thinking of how prayer has been consistent in God's mind throughout the century, in terms of His invitation for us to pray. You know, people pray today through the Savior as much as they did for the last 2,000 years, and even in the B.C. days, they had to come on the basis of God's mercy. So no techniques have helped in prayer life. No technology has helped in prayer life. So if you like gadgets and gizmos, that has not helped your prayer life necessarily. Okay. No educational advances has helped a person's prayer life. No shortcuts. It's God's heart to our heart, back to God's heart. And interesting, prayer is a responsibility and a gift for all the body of Christ, all the believers. It's not listed among the 19 spiritual gifts that God gives people, for example. Because then we could say, well, these two guys, they really have the gift. They pray. These are the prayers. And the rest of us could say, you know, just pass on the request to them. That's not how it works in the Bible. Every child of God has equal access to God through Christ. God's going to hear your prayer as you come through Jesus open-heartedly, as readily as He'd hear Billy Graham's prayer. And that's not to put Billy Graham down. That's to honor Christ who opens the door for prayer for you. So looking at the passage a little bit, verse 18, starting off, and just looking at the times Paul says, pray. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions. In the Spirit, that is, God's Holy Spirit helps us to pray. He motivates us. He ignites prayer, you might say. And Adrian Rogers, a great preacher, said, prayer starts in heaven. Okay, so God says, hey, pray. Seek my face. And we turn to Him. Pray in the Spirit. Very similar to the phrase that Jesus uses about worship. You must worship in spirit. That is, God's Spirit will help you know Him. He'll reveal Himself to you. God introduces Himself to us in prayer as we talk to Him. Continuing on with verse 18, with all kinds of prayers. And that's a fantastic invitation to pour your heart out before God. All kinds of prayers. Joyful prayers, prayers of thanks, prayers of praise. Bible's filled with those. Desperate prayers. The Bible's filled with those. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. That's a great prayer. Lord, help. Lord, save. That's it. You can become a Christian by saying, Lord, save. He understands those two words. Prayers for forgiveness. To know we're forgiven through Christ and to pass on forgiveness to others. Prayers for loved ones. Prayers for the nation. All kinds of prayers. Do that, God's Word says. It's a wonderful, wonderful gift. The power of prayer, someone said, is not in the one praying, it's in the one who hears us. Keep that in mind when you pray. Okay, it's not like, well, it's up to you what happens, you know, in prayer. No, you pray, you thank God for His heart. You ask Him. The power in prayer is in the one you're talking to. It's not in you and I. Again, not a technique, not an advancement in education, not just for super spiritual, mature saints. It's for every child of God. Keep on praying on all occasions. Verse 18, keep on praying for all the Christians. That'll keep you busy. Keep on praying for all the saints. I encourage people during a worship service to pray for other people in the service. Pray for people who God brings to your mind. Someone was sharing yesterday at one of the meals for people grieving. They said, God brought a person to my mind and I'm thinking, you know, there must be a reason why I'm thinking about that person. So whenever somebody comes to their mind, they start praying for them. That's a great way to love somebody. You know, my family life, for example, is more blessed when I pray fervently and with love for my wife and my sons. I feel closer to them. I'm a better husband. I'm a better dad. Because now Jesus becomes more and more the center of that relationship. Pray for all the Christians. Pray for the missionaries. Pray for the believers under persecution. Pray for the young Christians who need help. Pray for the backslidden Christians. Pray for the leader Christians. Somebody says, you know, I don't even know who my elder is. Find out and pray for your elder. That's on you, according to this passage over here. Okay, pray for your pastors. Pray for your Sunday school teacher. Pray for little ones. They're just a fantastic. Keep praying for all the Christians, verses 19 and 20. And Paul, you know, he says, oh, and don't forget to pray for me. Now, here's missionary Paul. Boy, he's already made three missionary journeys, but now he's in jail. And he's not too ashamed to say, pray for me. Give somebody else a chance to pray for you by sharing your need. Could you do that? I say, well, they have enough problems, they don't need to hear mine. No, you just share with a couple of them. That's what the Apostle Paul did. Pray for me, and listen to what he says. Words that would be given to me to declare the gospel fearlessly. Of all people, you wouldn't think Paul would say, sometimes I don't know what to say when it comes to preaching about Christ. I need God to give me the words so that I can say what will meet the need of the person and would honor God at that time. He said, pray that I can declare it fearlessly. And it was said about Paul, he was unimpressive in person. You might think, well, I don't feel like a very dynamic Christian or anything. Well, you'd fit right in there with Paul. See, he was unimpressive personally. And some of the leaders in the early church were timid. We know Timothy was. But it doesn't matter if you personally feel like, well, I'm unimpressive, I'm timid, I'm weak, I'm afraid, I'm depressed. You can pray, hey, help me to be, Lord, help me to be fearless. God can make you a fearless Christian. Isn't that fantastic? You say, what got into him or her? God got into him or her. That's why they're all of a sudden they're fearless. Isn't it a great compliment? Somebody, the Lord would give it to you. You don't have to hear it. They would say, you know what? You're fearless, aren't you? You say, well, I don't feel fearless, but I know the Lord gives me courage. So Paul focuses in on the prayer need, and the Holy Spirit's urging us on to pray. God starts the prayer, and prayer changes you, and prayer changes others. And listen to what Billy Graham said about prayer in the book Touch the World Through Prayer. He said he'd rather be living today than any other time, and especially even more than when Jesus walked the earth. Now, that's quite a statement. He says, because more people are coming to Christ than ever, more people are being prayed for than ever. And there are more praises to God than ever before, just by sheer numbers. More churches than ever before, more Bibles than ever before, more missionaries than ever before. The Holy Spirit brings that about, you know, as people turn to Him and pray. And he said, beside the Holy Spirit, prayer is the greatest resource in the church. Fantastic. It is. I know when we talk in leadership level, both staff and elders, we do almost everything together as a church, but we don't pray very often as a church. You say, Pastor, open in prayer, and you could close in prayer when we're done deciding what to do. We gather to pray. And then families gather to pray. A wonderful resource that'll bring people together side by side. Examples of God initiating prayer in the Bible, how He starts it up, you might say. One is right from the beginning when He calls forth Abraham. Abraham, I will bless you and make a great nation. Make you a great nation. And then Abraham responds. He believes God. So God talks first. Abraham talks second. Moses, great leader, same thing happened. He's not seeking God. He's wandering around, watching over the sheep. Moses. And God tells Moses a lot. And Moses doesn't have much to say in his first prayers. At that point, he pretty much says, why are you talking to me, and who are you? You know, I'm not even sure what your name is. What should I say when I try to lead these people toward you and get them out of the sinful Egypt? So prayer, God is highlighted in prayer. That's the point. Same thing the prophet Isaiah. He hears the Lord say, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And Isaiah finally says, here am I, send me. In our prayer life, give God credit for starting the conversation. And ask Him, Lord, have mercy on us to keep starting that conversation with us. He invites us through His conversation with Solomon. My people who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray. God's the inviting one in prayer. So look at them that way. Two more examples of that. Isaiah 65, 700 years before Christ. God says, I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. Now this is not the anti-prayer verse, but it's basically to acknowledge God initiates a new walk with Him. Author and finisher of our faith. Author and finisher of our prayer life. I remember that was my beginning with the Lord. It was a Saturday night. I wasn't sitting around thinking, I hope I meet Jesus soon because, you know, my life is a total mess. It was. I knew that in the back of my mind. But I turned on the television and this fellow, Billy Graham, he's preaching away. I didn't ask for that. But God was saying, you need me. You need this truth. You need salvation. And so God will reveal yourself even when you're wandering. And He'll do that for your loved ones. Intercede in that way. Last example, how God ignites prayer. He takes that initiative. 500 B.C., Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10, God says, I'll pour out on the house of David a spirit of grace and supplication. So the people aren't praying much at that point, and they're not very gracious. They don't know about salvation as the gift of God. But God gives the people a heart to pray. And that's something, maybe start with that, if for you, like for, say, half the Christians, prayer is a struggle. Say, Lord, give me an attitude or a spirit of prayer, of supplication. And God can give you that. I've found too, just feel led to say this, God often uses our personality in our prayer life. If you are a person of a few words, you will probably pray with short, sincere prayers to the Lord. If you are, you know, if you have the gift of verbosity, you will pray for an hour and a half, and the Lord will have to say, okay, I get it. There. But length is not important. Heart is important. In fact, the only cautions Jesus gave about length was, that's enough already. If there's a vainless repetition. Okay, But I don't think we're there. We're not in that danger. We're in the danger of open our heart and speak to the Lord throughout the day. And we'll talk on devotions later. We'll talk on continuous prayer. The Bible talks about that so much. But God's initiative in prayer. Could we turn to God and say this? Lord, I confess in terms of prayer, I confess my emptiness, my shallowness, my helplessness. And so I'm asking you, Lord, teach me to pray, just like the disciples said to Jesus. John Wesley's testimony about how God can ignite prayer in a Christian's heart, just toward closing here. He said this. Now, this could be your testimony. This is when God says, know me throughout the day. Talk with me. He said, your heart is ever lifted up to God at all times, in all places, as you pray. And your mind is, you know, your mind is speaking to somebody. You can speak to the Lord as you do your work. In conversation or in work, your heart is ever with the Lord. Whether you lie down or rise up, God is in all your thoughts. That's an opportunity he would give us. We should covet that. Say, Lord, we want to know you better and respond to that call. He says, ask the Lord for a life of prayer like that. And you'll constantly have friendship with God and impact thousands of people for the kingdom of God. You'll be praying for people in China and the nation of China. Pray for our whole country. You can get a list of senators and representatives, and you could pray for them. Some very faithful people who in prayer, I know, they pray for every family member every day. They just use their fingers and toes. You can cover 20 of them in that. Just because they love the Lord and they want to see God work in that person's life. And prayer will change you as you turn to Him in that way. Might we gain a heart of prayer, ask God to ignite prayer in our hearts and say, Lord, give us a heart after yourself like King David had. Remember King David's life was constantly renewed in God as he prayed on Psalm 51 here. He said, Lord, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit within me. He didn't have it in himself. It would be Christ, it would be his Holy Spirit that would make David a praying man. And you be a praying Christian. You'll be a blessing to God's heart and to people around you. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for this gift of prayer that you initiate. You invented it. You invited it. And just like other parts of our life, Lord, whether we're talking about our obedience or our discipleship, our knowledge of the Bible, prayer will be affected by our sin. Sin will stop us praying, and praying will stop us sinning. So we ask you to ignite prayer in our souls. Make the best part of our prayer life our one-on-ones with you. And then from there, we'll pray effectively in the body. And Lord, we want your Holy Spirit to be in charge of that prayer time. So keep yourself on our minds and hearts, that we could speak with you and speak on behalf of others and the many, many spiritual needs in our own soul. Thank you. You offer your health to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.